Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
He's a janitor at a high school. Has to take the bus to work every day.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy, and you, for the very first time on this podcast, delivered your intro down the barrel of a camera.
I sure did, folks.
Hello, Tommy.
We have more than one camera.
Hello. We're in our new studio. We've put up a little bit of sound baffling so far. There's a cool, like, uni frat house... style couch yet to come.
Yes. Yep.
We got a couple more of these baffling bits, but
what's the saying? You either die doing a podcast in an echoey room or you live long enough to see yourself become a baffling enthusiast.
I think that's the commonly used saying. It's useful because it can apply to so many facets of life.
Yeah. Commissioner Gordon said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. He commissioned podcasts out of his Batman
Bat
with
Cave?
A podcast. Hey everybody, Batcoin is doing real well. Everyone invest in Batcoin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really sound like Batman, do I?
What kind of podcast are you doing?
They're every kind. They're all investing now. We should get into it.
All right.
Batcast. Batman would have a podcast, I reckon.
Yeah.
I guess
it'd be like, you know, someone had come to him and be like, it's a good thing for the brand. If you just do like a weekly,
right.
You sort of sum up the little cases you solved.
You can have fun without crime. Here's a list of fun places to go in Gotham where you don't even need to do a single crime. The Botanic Gardens, unless you're Poison Ivy, don't go there then.
I had the Joker booked in for a guest tomorrow and he just pulled out. Now I'm texting the Riddler and the Penguin to see if they can do it.
Yeah. So here's something they don't really talk about. Robin's shaking his head at me because we've been arguing about this all day. Robin, bring up that video of the donkey kicking the gorilla.
But yeah,
that's who we are now.
If you listen to the regular podcast feed, we are now going to have these up on YouTube as well, so you can see us visually.
Assuming that this doesn't break because we're trying it. If it's not there, you know something broke.
But if it is there, yes, this is how I dress when I know I'm going to be on camera.
We've also got, in honor of having some video stuff here, this won't be normal to have all our gamer-branded drinks and snacks.
Yep. No, we don't normally have any. This was donated kindly by listener Warren, who has had it for a long time.
Mm.
Long enough, and it's taken us long enough to get around to it that we are... Where's the best?
It's on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, 7th of January.
Yeah.
So we've got, for the listener at home, we've got Pringles... wavy MOA burger flavored Halo tie-in.
That's right.
Pringles, and then
what's the MOA? Is that a Halo thing?
Is it MOA? I think it might just be a MOA burger.
Oh, okay.
What's a MOA burger?
Well, not much. What's a MOA burger with you?
Fucking yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Mission accomplished, Warren.
I think I googled this like when we first got them because it isn't a Halo specific burger. Maybe it's a burger from... I have a Halo cookbook.
Yeah.
I got some video game cookbooks that I thought we could, you know, cook some stuff out of one day.
Sure, yeah. We'll bring in a little like gas powered hot plate and do it on the table here.
A little hibachi grill.
Yeah,
sick. We have video podcasts for 2 weeks before we burn down the place we're renting.
You've got you've got a Final Fantasy cookbook.
I got a Final Fantasy cookbook and a Halo cookbook. The Final Fantasy one is fun because it's lots of like, instead of saying chicken, it'll say chocobo or whatever. I don't think they eat chocobo.
No.
But some
that'd be like eating horse. Something
which people do remember those lasagnas that had a bunch of horse in them.
Was a mistake, I believe.
Well, I did it deliberately. I told you it was a mistake at the time. But
is it carrying through the whole recipe? Is it like anytime it's mentioning like, you know, cook the chicken for fire? Is it like saying cook the chocobo, but then brackets?
chicken. No, chicken.
Well, we'll explore more when we do. But then the Halo one is just like, yeah, they'd probably have burgers in the Halo military. Here's a burger.
Yeah, I bet somewhere out there.
They should all be like, this should be like a freeze dried burger. You know, like those military packs.
Space shit. Yeah. With those, and we've got like Call of Duty Mountain Dews. Yeah. Game fuel. This is American stuff. Is the point. We don't get this sort of thing over here in the same way.
I don't know. I'm not sure I remember the backstory of this. Did Warren get these shipped to him, or was he recently over in the States?
He's over there. Yeah, he was over there. I think he may live there now.
I think he works there.
Yeah, at
the Game Fuel factory.
He sidled up to us at the live show.
He yelled my name across a bar.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, here's the sequence of events.
Okay.
He does that to you.
Yes.
You then palm him off to me because you didn't want to carry the bag around.
So
he comes up to me with a Woolworths bag that seems to be very heavy. And there was a moment where I thought, this is how I die.
Is there a ticking sound coming from that bag?
This is like, you know how in recipes they'll be like, well, the first time I ate this was when I was trapped in a cabin in the Netherlands.
Yes.
This is the taste test equivalent of that, where like before we tasted these, the story is we met Warren.
We're telling the farm to table story.
Yeah. It's trying to scroll down the recipe like, good Lord. This paragraph about visiting Italy goes forever.
We've got a yellow, a red, a blue and a green.
Yeah, this
and
this
three
one,
of the Pringles are the same.
Yellow is charged tropical strike flavor.
Yeah, no, I don't want to drink anything that doesn't have an aggressive word in it.
Yeah.
You're in luck because this one's charged berry blast.
That's the blue.
Yep.
Green is charged original dew.
Okay.
I guess I'll have that one.
Classic Mountain Dew
but
flavor.
But it's charged. Is that just caffeine?
Dew with a D.
Yeah.
And the red one. Red, I forgot about red.
Cherry burst.
Nice. Is there an agnostic one? No, I guess I'm atheist. All right. Well, who
Nox,
does anyone?
You're the fizzy drink aficionado.
That's
out of the
true.
Three of us.
I have a problem with energy drinks.
Yep. You're also the Call of Duty aficionado. So
these are made for me, and I'm really embarrassed by that. But it is true. So
look, that's you.
I'll let
you and your little friends, Adam.
Yeah. I've
are
got
you winning, son.
Shut the fuck up.
How do you open these?
They've got, strange like black pull tabs on the top. I assume that this larger bit, you just move forward and rip it all off or something.
It says open at
you
this
guys
end.
Pick the flavors you want.
Really?
And I'll have whatever's left.
I generally like blue flavor.
Go blue.
I'm going to try a cherry.
Nice.
I don't mind a cherry flavor.
Oh, sure.
Well,
like
I'll try
the
yellow because I feel like the Mountain Dew is the most normal.
Yeah, true.
Now we've got all our fucking electronic shit on the desk.
Yeah, I nominate Tommy to open the cans.
Over
he's
in
also
this
got
corner.
A, yeah, yeah, got
you
a,
don't
wanna, a mic
you
stand.
You don't want to into the mic?
Yeah, do it over my laptop, cunt.
Okay.
What the hell?
We also don't have cans in Australia.
No,
so.
No.
This is a very... I've never seen a ring pull like this.
It's
okay,
a bit
cool.
Weird.
So
I think
you
might
pop
be
it up
doing
and then
it
you slide
backwards.
It back. No, I think I've... Yeah, okay. I think I've got it.
Yeah, because it says, it says open on the end, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look, see?
Don't even do it as a joke.
All right.
Technology is the most important thing to be... Oh, you get those fucking slurping
sounds
on there,
slurp.
Too.
That was a real slurp.
That just tastes like a flat cherry drink, my friend.
Yeah. Where did those?
Can you open
I
this for me, please,
January
Tommy?
Too.
Yeah, sure.
I'm excited.
Damn,
bitch.
That is kind of cool that you slide it back like a... And can you open my yellow one, please, Daddy?
It would be my honor.
Oh, we're getting real ASMR shit happening here. It's disgusting.
Yeah, this tastes like blue cordial.
Right? Are they all flat?
They're all pretty flat, I think.
Mine's definitely flat, yeah.
Yeah, the yellow tastes like lemonade. But
weirdly, that's making me like it more. It doesn't taste like I'm. It doesn't taste like I'm drinking an unhealthy soda.
Right.
It just does taste like a. Yeah, it tastes like a cordial.
It does, doesn't it?
Look at us learning about branding in real time.
It also
they don't
contains...
even taste that different. It's like all the labels are just for show.
It contains vitamins A and B.
Nice.
And it also provides or, assists with alertness and accuracy.
Oh, yeah.
Accuracy I need.
Yeah, for this podcast, we're going to get everything right.
It's true. We fucked this. We should save that green one for when we're sitting in front of Call of Duty and do a
performance test.
Yeah, exactly.
I also took a little something before I came in to give me both of these things.
Okay.
Get ready for extra XP.
Remember to talk into that microphone, by the way, Tom.
Yeah. I'm doing my best.
It's his first day. Come on.
Yeah. Does this, because one of them mentions that they give you, this green one gives you some shit in the game.
It says.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you get two XP
for 15 minutes, but I don't think the other ones say that on them.
You do get that from like Doritos and stuff over here.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, we're the cousins of America.
Mm-hmm.
We are the cousins of America. That song doesn't even sound like that. Who wants to try some Pringles?
Is it Pringle time? Now, these are all the same flavor.
Yeah.
So just open one.
One for each of
this
us.
One,
no. Just do one.
This one, you can see the dent on the camera there. I don't think we should open that one.
Now, I don't know about you boys, but personally, I'm excited to pop and then stop immediately.
Now, I've got bad news for you, Tommy.
Here we go.
You know what's good about them?
Now, are these going to be flat?
We've never had ruffled Pringles in Australia, and these are the old-fashioned big-size Pringle cans too, which I don't mind.
All right, here we go.
Now, remember how I said to be in front of the mic? Don't do it when you're chewing. I can't stand that.
I just can't win with you.
It kills me. Yeah, I know.
That is not bad.
Still crispy, not stale.
Yeah.
Survived much more successfully than the Game of Fuel.
Yeah, being 4 months out of date.
Yeah.
It tastes like a... barbecue-y kind of chip over here, like a sandboy
sort of.
Yeah, kind of like a mix between a light and tangy and maybe a barbecue flavored.
I don't think anyone's ever said this before, but the Americans, they know their snacks.
Yeah, true. Man, that best before date, it's a crock of shit. What else are they lying to us about?
Wow. Nothing. It's just that, weirdly.
God, being on YouTube now is really getting into my head.
Oh, no. Those were delicious. Thanks, Warren. Shame about the fizziness of the drinks, but look, I do like a blue cordial. I'm going
to
drink it.
And look, we also don't know if these are meant to be carbonated from the start. I do think there are more...
It does say
carbonated water in the ingredients.
It does say this is meant to be fizzy.
I don't know why I would have assumed that. Well, but cans sit there for months. But these have been on planes. These have been in multiple houses over here.
Hot and cold, yeah.
These snacks have been on an incredible journey.
Yeah.
From the United States of America to Comedy Republic,
yes,
to Ben's hands, to my hands, to the floor at the Cooper's Inn.
To my hands.
To Adam's house.
To my shoe rack at home, because I left them there to try and remember to take them every single week. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep.
But kept forgetting. You know what you don't notice? Something on your shoe rack.
Yeah.
Adam's got a shoe rack, everyone.
Yeah.
La-dee-da.
I got 3 pairs of shoes on there and enough room for 50 cans of drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Warren.
Yes.
And, we really should get like a P.O. box or something for if anyone wants to send us stuff like this. We do get requests every now. Like, you know, we'll mention.
We ate that Mario cereal one
time.
That's
true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something will come up in the news, like a tie-in or whatever.
Yeah.
And we talk about it in like a funny way. And then someone out there will assume that
we talk about it at the very least. Yeah, we give it a go.
Someone out there will assume that we really, really want this product.
Right.
And be like, boys, I went out and I bought you this Crash Bandicoot bedspread. Where can I mail it to?
Damn, my house directly. Absolutely. You kidding me? This is me going to sleep every night.
Wow!
I tried to do the Crash sound, but he's got a high voice.
Wow!
Actually,
kind of closer.
Yeah, now that you're saying it, if that existed, I wouldn't mind getting it for just to have for my spare room at home.
Yeah.
Just anytime, like, you know, the mother-in-law comes to stay, just like make up the bed for her.
Or let's be real, anytime you have an argument with your partner.
Yeah.
Or if it is the mother-in-law, every morning mother-in-law getting up and being like, you should leave him. Do you know what I slept in last night?
See? What did I tell you?
I would get housemates again and then...
Just for this.
So that every night I'd be like, oh, pretty tired, might go Crash. Do you hear what I said, everyone?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh,
why'd I say Crash? Well... Because.
Yeah. Or you're like coming in the morning. Oh, yeah, didn't really get much sleep last night, boys. Bit exhausted. And they're like, yeah, you had sex. We get it. And you're like, no, I was just up all night staring at the Crash Bandicoot Duda cover that I've got.
My neck really hurts because it means I was looking directly down.
Well, thanks, Warren. Thank you, Warren.
Thanks, Skip, for giving us our first piece of video content in the new studio.
Yeah. Well, speaking of video content, we are 24 hours away from the release of Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, yes.
And Nintendo of Australia, they got granted license to make their own specialized...
It kind of feels like they've gone rogue, to be honest, based on the content of this.
I wonder how high up the flagpole this went, whether this was like, you know, run by the bigwigs in at Kyoto. It doesn't seem... So there's an ad that has just come out yesterday for Tears of the Kingdom. It's made by Nintendo Australia. It's like it's a localized ad.
You can tell, like, the guy had an Australian accent too.
He played Harry in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child in the Australian production.
I've seen him before then.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
So he's a full on actor.
Of like two things he's been in.
Love your work, mate. Love your oeuvre.
Incredible follow up role, because someone else who was in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child left the cast and just won Most Outstanding Show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So all the alumni of that show just kicking goals at the moment.
In our industries.
In our industries. The ad is basically depressed man on the bus, very somber tone to the ad.
Yeah. And he's not like massively depressed.
No, he's like successful businessman, nice outfit, nice clothes.
Yeah.
He's on the way to work. He's getting the bus for some reason.
Well, I mean, I say depressed. He's living a life that like 90% of the population leads.
That's the thing. Yeah. He's just got...
He looks like he has a house.
He's in a vague rut. He's just sort of doing the same thing every day, and he loves his family.
But the ad is very like grey tones, kind of somber piano music in the background. He gets home, he's in the kitchen, his wife comes home from work, and then seemingly goes straight to bed. He's now by
himself
on the
couch. She's probably working too. She's on a different bus every day.
True. Maybe she's a bus driver.
She's playing 3DS
on
that bus from an older ad.
Yeah, but she's tired, she's gone to bed. And then it's a tale as old as time. He's hitting the console.
Well, he's got a new physical copy of Tears of the Kingdom sitting on the coffee table.
Right.
That, to me, I took it as his what, because he's like seems confused and surprised that it's there.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's like, oh, all right. Like,
I didn't get that. I thought that he had bought it and was like, oh, finally I get to unwind.
As
like,
soon as the miso goes to bed.
I guess I now thought I'm it was allowed to play my video games.
I took it to be a present from her, because he looked at it and he was like, huh, I guess I'll give it a try. Because then over the rest of the ad, he's like getting more and more sucked into...
Well, I took it to be he was going to go straight to the desktop and chuck the ROM up on Reddit. Because he's gotten the game early.
Yeah,
let's be real. That's the thing that's not really...
Yeah.
He's not like sitting there being like, how the hell did you get this?
Maybe he's a reviewer for IGN. I mean, this is the lifestyle we're seeing.
At the end, there's the sirens start chasing the bus, and he's getting the Nintendo police.
The Nintendo
on
cops,
him.
Yeah.
So he's playing the game, and it's kind of showing off a little bit of, like, you know, this is an ad that's meant to be kind of catching in people that aren't, you know, haven't kept up with the cycle of this game. So it's.
With the chips in the middle of the table too, being fresh on the doing the video versions, you might get some hands reaching across some talking faces.
People will like that.
He's mucking around with the game.
Yeah.
It's meant to sort of show, you know, the people who are perhaps kind of new to the fact that this is coming out. Hey, this is what you're doing in this new Zelda. You're building stuff. Mm. And he's got a very Mr. Bean approach where he's like got one log and a little sail.
Oh yeah, he's real
like
bad at
falls
it.
Falls over, and he's not really talking. He's like, oh, like he's just kind of making little kind of like mutters and.
They would have had to pay him a fortune if he'd spoken in the ad, though.
Well, he's doing a lot of that very video game in film thing where he's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, great. Yes.
He's getting on the log and he's yelling Expelliarmus. It's not working.
Yeah.
And so yeah, then it's him. The next day he's on the bus. And he's got Zelda with him now.
On his portable Switch.
The bus ain't so bad. And it is funny, 6 years into this console, a big focus of the ad still being, you can, just in case you didn't know, you can take this little guy anywhere.
It's funny the difference in tone between like life in 2017 when it came out versus now, where at the start it was like, rooftop parties, motherfucker!
Basketball, quarter time and your pickup game.
Take your Switch anywhere. And now it's like, maybe on the bus.
Yeah.
I'm getting tear gassed in the street at a protest and I'm playing Pikmin. So he's on the bus, he's playing the game, and then he's looking out the window and he's looking at the clouds and he's thinking, maybe life ain't so bad after all.
It's so
play anywhere.
This is the dumbest thing about the ad, is that it's implying that he's realized like, oh, I could go on an adventure like Link does. It's like, dude, you're like 40 years old. You know you can go to the fucking national park and have a hike.
Like, I just took him to be like, oh, I feel a little bit better about my commute now. I didn't read the whole in a monologue of him being like, maybe I could go to a real Hyrule.
That's what I think. That's I've seen other people like interpret it that way.
Yeah,
so
right.
I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess that's it's reminding him of how real life can be quite beautiful as well.
I'm sure I took it the way that I would take it in real life, where I'm like, yeah, there's nothing but video games.
Right.
Hey, like all great art, it's open to interpretation.
That's
so this
true.
Ad, it goes live. Immediately people get obsessed with it. Mm. There was a lot of memes of like the you know, taking the shot where you see his hands holding the Switch and it's instead it's Children of Men.
Yes.
On
Clive Owen on the bus.
Clive Owen
yeah,
on
yeah.
the bus.
It does have that sort of a
so that sort of tone to it. Mm. People are really fixated on it. It's like this is a company that's known for fun. It's a
right.
this game coming out is a big joyous event. Why have they made the most somber, depressing out of all time? And then through a little bit of digging through friend of the show Ruby Innes, she was posting about it. And someone who worked on the ad contacted her, and it turns out that this ad is like basically an adaptation of an Amazon Japan review of Breath of the Wild from 5 years ago, where it's like a guy being like
a salary man being
So this this was across their desk, and they thought, let's turn this into an ad.
Yeah,
crazy.
Wonderful stuff. And we know that Nintendo of Australia listened to this podcast. Mm. So if you want to give us more context even or want our input on an ad.
Yeah, adapt something that we've said about your company into the next ad campaign.
Oh, here it is. So you're going to need to be advertising Pikmin soon, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a guy, he's just come out of prison and the world's changed since he was in there. He's been institutionalized,
right.
is the thing.
What's the guy from Shawshank?
Don't worry about it yet. And so he's up on a chair. He can't handle it anymore. His job packing bags at the grocery store isn't working.
Right. Yeah.
What's a guy from Shawshank?
I don't know. What
it's
is
Brooks.
Saying?
He's Brooks. Okay, Brooks. Because he gets on this chair and he's got a noose around his neck. But then as he's scraping into the wood above him, into the rafter, he's scraping Brooks was here in, and some fun little guys, little blue and green and red little guys come in, take that knife off of him.
Mm.
They unwrap the noose. They sit him down, put a Switch in his hand. They're lifting it all up as a group.
You need the winged Pikmin to kind of pull him out.
But he's been away for so long, he doesn't know how to play the Switch, and he still kills himself at the end of the act. What about that?
Okay,
maybe he sees how bad the resolution is and kills himself.
What I like about this is now I want to know, is there a way that person, because this is if you're a journalist, right? Ruby, if you're listening, this is the next big scoop for you, right? That guy that wrote that ad for Amazon Japan, does he have any idea that his review has been adapted? Like, imagine that.
Oh, damn.
You're just sitting around, you wrote this thing like 6 years ago, you know, you haven't given it another thought.
I read
busy
his...
playing heaps of other things, and then someone just sends you a link. It's like, a link. Hey, look.
What?
This is someone
in
Australia pretending to be you. And not only that, he's Harry Potter.
Yeah. And not only that, but people are doing weird posts and videos about how this ad is offensive. I saw that sort of talk about it too,
right.
where they're like, it's making fun of it, saying we're all depressed. When I like went to look for the ad.
Oh my God, what a... Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, here's a little project that we could have for the podcast. Maybe this could be like a stretch goal thing on Patreon or something.
Okay.
As mentioned, you know, I know someone who was in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Yes.
You know? We could get in touch with this guy. And
oh.
we do prequel to the ad. We expand the universe of this Tears of the Kingdom Nintendo advertisement.
Yeah.
You know, we do our whole... you know, we script this guy's whole backstory.
So, like, has it happened to him before where, like, he's a kid and his parents are fighting and yelling in the other room, but then he's got a little Nintendo 64 sitting in his
room? Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, you like the show Ted Lasso?
Sure.
That started off, that was a character in an ad.
Oh, you like Game of Fuel and Ted Lasso, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, you're a loser.
that was a show that spun off from an ad.
Yeah.
So it's happened before. There's a precedent, and that was really successful.
That's true. He just keeps getting into different scrapes every week, but then a different console makes him feel better.
Yeah,
I guess it's going to be...
He moves to England.
It consoles him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Give me that writing.
Consoles. Mate. That's the series title. It has to be sequels, right? Because this ad that has been made sort of presupposes that he doesn't know about video games a bit.
Or a little, I'm imagining it just keeps happening to him again and again. And every time he's like, what? Vita? Okay.
Well, I think it has to be Ted Lasso style where he moves to the UK and it's like, boy, you thought that commute was dreary back in Australia. It's getting dark at 3:30 in the afternoon. Yeah, how do you like that?
He has to adjust to Powell from NTSC. Oh, but he's Australian.
He's Aussie. Yeah. I like this. And maybe he keeps getting hit over the back of the head and loses his memory of how video games can be so transformative.
Maybe.
And then he'll come across like a Sega Saturn and be like, oh, Virtua Fighter.
This is a great interview for the pod. We got to try and get this guy in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, they kept telling me to look happy every shot, but I couldn't. Oh, no.
I was excited because I was in an ad for Zelda and they were like, tone it down.
This isn't
what, you know, Switch Fan 87 was talking about back on Amazon.co.jp.
I read that guy's like original review and it is like that. He was like, oh, I was just feeling down. My life was the same thing every day. But then I got this and it was a bit of joy during my day. And thanks very much, Nintendo.
3 stars.
But he was also...
I miss the old dungeons.
Yeah. There's a bit in his review where it's like he was looking at mountains he didn't know the name of but hated outside of the window. Like, he's really poetic about it.
Yeah, wow.
And this is through a translation thing, obviously.
Yeah.
Weird ad.
Hey, a great little something to pass the time during the week.
Yeah.
Until Friday the 12th of May.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I was thinking,
because a few people have said...
I'm going to play Zelda, everyone.
Yeah, me too. I'm brave enough to say it.
Yeah.
So a few people have said that they've gone back and listened to us talk about Breath of the Wild when that first came out.
Yes.
And you, Adam, talk about, I can't remember in what context, but you talk about wanting to go into some kind of coma or
cryogenic
Powers to speed up. And I've been thinking that this week, like just running out the clock, just being like, I just want it to be Friday.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this game. And it is funny to think about yourself as an old man on your deathbed and like, boy, it all went by so fast. And then a lot of that was you just going, God damn, I want this week to be over. I want it to be Friday already.
I know. I reckon it'll be the people who've gone back and listened to the Breath of the Wild talk. It was funny seeing them say what we were saying back then.
Yeah.
I reckon it's going to be a lot of repeat where it was like, Adam and Ben are arguing about whether it's like a great world-changing game or not. Ben doesn't like it that much. Adam, da-da-da.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Yep.
Because I'm excited.
I'm going in at midnight, baby.
Zelda's been one of those things, like, not to get too Amazon Japan review here, but every like different era of my life has sort of switched around the same time that a Zelda game has come out. They come out so infrequently.
Yes.
That out of everything, it's probably the one series that's the most sort of sentimentally important to me.
Yeah.
Because of that. So I wonder what's about to change now.
I've also been thinking about it just in terms of it. I mean, there is some other stuff to come out and we don't know what they're doing longer term in terms of a new console.
Yeah.
But this does feel like it's, you know, these two Zelda games kind of ending the Switch.
Right.
Is kind of cool. And when we first started this podcast, we were like speculating for ages about what the new console was going to be. So just this sort of tying a little, I know there's still stuff coming out, but sort of tying a little bit of a bow on this console. Well, it's kind of like, I've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours on this damn thing and it's kind of, it's wrapping up.
We got Pikmin is like the one big one that's sort of remaining, but then there's the rumors I'm seeing in the mill.
I saw some of these rumors too,
I keep climbing into this mill and hiding up in the rafters and it says Brooks was here scratched in there, but then some little guys have helped out. Is that Nintendo will not be doing one of their big directs in June, July like they normally do, which suggests to me, because all the other things are still doing their like replacement, or at least Microsoft definitely is, and I think Sony probably will.
Yeah, I think so.
There's other things going on in that sort of E3 window, a bunch of which, if they're at good Australian times, will probably watch on Twitch.
Absolutely.
Together.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying that if any... of all the years, this might be the one where there are the fewest of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, anyway, there might not be a Nintendo one, which to me would suggest that means they're saving up. There's nothing else Switch, like you're saying.
Because if they're not ready to say what the new console and everything is, like, what do they have to show at it? Pikmin might be out by then or just come out soon.
They might do a 10-minute, here's a Pikmin Direct or whatever, one of those type of things.
I mean, have they haven't dated Metroid at any point, have they? They still haven't?
They were friends but fucking for a little while, but they were never...
Right.
No, it feels like they've drifted a little bit, honestly. Yeah.
No, they haven't said much beyond like, oh, it's back in redevelopment.
So
know.
I feel like that's right, yeah. A huge chance of being shuffled onto the next thing. They did have their like investor thing.
Which is so crazy because that was one of the very first...
Yeah.
Just a logo, but like right at the beginning of the Switch, they were like, Metroid Prime 4.
Well, I think they're realizing that they don't have the benefit of a library of games from a console that no one had in the Wii U that they can port over. They're wanting to get everyone over across, so they got to hold on to some heavy hitters to launch this thing within the first year, right?
I would guess like October-ish or whatever it was for the Switch, they do a sort of da-da-da-da, here's what we're doing next. It comes out in maybe March, similar to the Switch, and then that shows up next year. But then I'll be real interested to see when that does come out because obviously there'll be something, a Switch 2 type of thing. How they deal with this backlog of Switch games
Nintendo
because like the rest of everyone has gone very heavily into your library stays with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both as a way, and we'll talk about it more with what's his name, Phil Spencer in a minute. He was talking about this sort of stuff on that.
And they've got so
he raised it as an excuse.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. And so like so many people have gone, your library stays with you and it keeps you in our ecosystem or whatever.
Nintendo they've got so many new people in the ecosystem with this console and probably a lot of people that have been checked out on them for a decade plus.
Yeah.
So yeah, the smart thing they could do would be to keep everyone in, which almost certainly means that they won't do it.
Back in the day, you could play GameCube games on the Wii and then you could play Wii games on the Wii U.
Yep.
So they have done it. There was a little GBA slot in the bottom of the DS.
True. Yep.
So, but the way that they've taken all these Wii U games, re-released them with a Funky Kong in them, charge full price for them again, and how well that's worked for them, it's probably a one-time deal because the Wii U did how it did. But if they try to do that, like if in a year there is a Tears of the Kingdom Ultimate for Switch 2 that costs the same again, that would be pretty fucking weird.
That would be a especially if it's a console that can play all that stuff.
You'd want to have all your Switch digital games backwards on whatever's next.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like they have improved the online service, like the subscription thing.
Yeah.
You know, you stay subscribed to Nintendo Online. You get all of this backward, like retro games and stuff.
And they can still double dip if it's like you boot up your new, whatever the new thing is, you
Switch
copy
two.
Your account across, all your stuff is there for you to download. And then they do hey, here's the next gen patch for Tears of the Kingdom that makes it run at 60 frames per second, and it's $10.
That was what they did on PS5 often.
That would
be
That's not really what Nintendo have been doing lately, though, right?
No.
It's more like, no, you just buy it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, famously, all of their stuff on the eShop, like the first party stuff, never gets a discount. Like, all of that stuff.
Well,
is,
and on the Wii and the Wii U, those virtual console games didn't translate over between consoles.
That's true.
Yes.
So they've done every fucking which way.
Mm.
In any case, they did have, I believe it was their investors meeting thing like the other day where they just kind of basically, it's all very dry. It's just basically here's what everything sold. And they did mention that they are not, because they're, is it their financial, it's like it ends in March or something.
In America.
Yeah, or they basically were saying they're not going to be looking at a Switch successor in this financial year, which the thing I read was like, that's up in March 2024.
Right.
So it's not, which would suggest to me, October they do the announce, it's coming out April.
Maybe, and I like, if there's nothing else coming out for the Switch this year, which if they don't do a thing soon, there won't be.
Yeah.
Then they have to do it soon, right?
Well, yeah, but then they would be thinking, well, we don't want to announce the next thing because we want to maximize all the sales of the Switch and all sales on the Switch
potentially
that we can get.
They
out of
did
it.
Do it with the Switch though, while the Wii U was still around.
But that's because the Wii U was failing though, right?
Partly,
like, yeah.
The
they needed
is,
to
like,
show that they had.
They've
a,
sold
yeah.
50 million copies of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe or something.
Yeah.
Like they,
and I can also understand not having said anything yet because they want to get Tears of the Kingdom out there. They don't want it to feel like this is now coming out on even though it is like outdated, you know, if they were already talking about the next thing,
right,
it would make, it's like, oh, well, Teaser Kingdom's coming out on the old, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it would feel a bit like...
Or people would be like, well, it'll definitely come out again on the new one, so I won't buy it now, which again will impact, you know, their earnings for that.
I think that they
want to
give
that.
This a bit of breathing space.
Yeah. They were saying to people clearly, like, anything on the Switch, you'll be able to upgrade or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We're
fucking obviously speculating here.
I'm sure they do. Sure, there's a few fellas in Kyoto that know what's coming next.
I don't know.
That's the thing. Honestly. Those guys don't communicate what they're doing super, super openly. Unlike Phil Spencer of Microsoft and Xbox, who, you know, as much as it's maybe a salesman thing and a
I think it's 100%
thing,
a salesman thing.
I do think he seems to be telling the truth about stuff a lot of the time.
I think he has cultivated a very manipulative image. I really think that he's a nice guy, but he's also using it to be like, hey, keep giving us money.
I mean, he works for a company, so obviously he's not going to be like, yeah, Xbox sucks this time. But he gets as close to saying that realistically as someone who's a CEO of a thing can, because like he was on
Phil Spencer went on a podcast,
vodcast,
gave this very open interview about the failure of Redfall and its critical reception and is just very, I agree.
And
it's
like also the inability of Xbox to really have as many games as others come out recently, and like them being in third place as a console, and how like realistically we're not competing in that market very well.
Yep.
So here's where we want it. Yeah, like pretty open stuff that is obviously always going to be spin and whatever, but like is as compared to something like Nintendo, who's tight lips and never anything, or Sony, who I don't say much either, but seem more spinny to me.
I agree with you, Ben, that it is, it's like, yeah, you're the head of a company. So it's like, you're not going into something like this going, oh, whoops-a-daisy, I really poured my heart out there by accident. Like you are doing it as a deliberate thing. But that being said, I do still think that transparency is cool. Like I think he still is ultimately being honest about like, we fucked it and we can do better and we've just got to learn, which is all true.
Like, he's not saying like, ah, Redfall's actually good and you've all got it wrong. He's like, we fucked it with Redfall. We didn't manage to do what we wanted to do. It sucks. We thought it would do better and people don't like it. So we'll wear that. Like,
what else can he say? Like, we know it's bad. So I think it's like a kind of false transparency, because it's like, yeah, exactly. What is he going to say? No, it's good. You guys are all wrong. It's
or like, just nothing as well, which is what most of them do.
It is also rare, that's why I kind of think it is.
It's like, well, yeah, not, you would just say nothing. You'd move on to the next thing. But I think I feel like getting on the front foot and being like, yeah, you guys who love Xbox, interview me. I'll pretend. Well, not I'll pretend. I'll be open. I'll be, you know, pro gamer. Like, that's the thing that he's always got, is like gamers think that Xbox is like for them. They're pro consumer.
Well, also he knows that this is going to make headlines. So it's like if Xbox is struggling in a lot of ways, it's like this at the very least bumps them up to the top of the headlines on the gaming sites for at least a day. So it's like,
well, and a lot of,
you know, just reminds people that they're out there. I do still think it's cool to have done this. It's an interesting move to do this in like the week of, because usually the way when these kinds of guys talk about this kind of stuff, it's like a year on. It's like, you know, they're looking back well in the past, like, yeah, well, that didn't do well for us, so what we then decided to do, and they, you know,
to pump up the next thing.
Yeah, they're tying it to then a victory. It's like, that inspired us to,
which,
just him being straight in there and just being like, yeah, you know, tough week, we flubbed it, but it didn't feel great.
I don't feel sorry for you, because I think the alternate,
I don't think he's trying to get people to feel sorry.
I think he's saying
the whole time, he's like, no one should feel sorry for us, like it's our fault. Like,
he's buying goodwill, but I think because the other,
he's also got a Switch in the background of his shot, the fucking turncoat.
You
son of a bitch.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, right.
The other thing you do is you what are the examples? Not Cyberpunk. Maybe a No Man's Sky. There are other examples where people are just like, we'll get to fixing it right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has tended to work as well.
Like, you're right.
And
hearing from the team directly about how they're feeling about it, because at the end of the day, it's their art that's gone out and had the negative response, that would feel really bad to be the creative person that worked on it, as opposed to like the top brass being like, there's a little bit less money in my account. You know, it's like, it's the guy overseeing it. It's like,
And
yeah, I mean, you maybe made a bad call, but like, it's not people saying like, hey, that character that you created sucks.
Yeah.
As a point of difference from the last Xbox guy too, whose name is escaping me right now, but
Bill Gates?
No, Matt something.
Master Chief.
The guy who he looks like.
The Pringle Man?
Like that guy there. This guy, does anyone recognize him?
I didn't even notice that the Pringle guy had the gaming headset
on.
Yeah,
he does.
A nice touch.
Whatever that guy's name was, how he was like, yeah, the Xbox One is always online. If you want a console that's not called the Xbox 360. Like, and I found in that interview interesting the thing he was like, we lost the generation that was probably the most important one to lose because that's when everyone built, which is now the PS4 library. Like,
yes.
That's when everyone gathered their digital games and got kind of locked into this. So, he feels like a guy who understands what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. Yes. But I think, it's because of it's this game, right? Like, this game, it looks to have been so cynically put together from the start. Like, there's not a lot of care, it seems.
So you played a little bit of Redfall.
Yes.
Yeah, I never got it. What's it like?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
it really feels like it should be, like, a free-to-play, like, fucking in the 90s, it would have been free on the back of a cereal box.
Right,
like, right, right.
But it also feels worse than like a Warframe or something like that because empty world, texture glitches, pop in, like AI fuck ups.
Especially when they've just been acquiring companies left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this building to? Where's the big, you know, this has got to pay off at some point.
In this specific case as well, Arkane makes really good games.
So, I think we've met that there's the Arkane Arcanes. Who made Prey, the Arkane who made Dishonored.
Which
and
Prey
Deathloop.
Was like a very curated, cultivated game. It was like a lot of passion went into it.
It was a good game and did have some of the sort of jankiness that is cranked up to 11 in this.
But I think take away the technical glitches of Redfall, it's just like an empty, soulless, cash grab feeling game.
And does this speak to you're Arkane, you get acquired by Microsoft, and so you just don't have as much, you kind of end up with less freedom because they're the ones going like, this has to come out now. You can't delay it.
That was something that they touched on in this thing as well, that this was already in production. There was a PS5 version that was like at the point when they acquired them, and that he was like, we should have offered them more support with this. This is the game that came, that was like the one that was in the wrong time that we've learned from, and
so there was also a quote in there of like, he was like, some games, it doesn't matter how long you delay for, how much money you throw at them, they'll never match up to what the creative ambition was, which I cannot believe. Like, you're Microsoft. You could have delayed, if you delay this a year like you did with Halo, this is a better game. There's no way that you don't at least iron out the bugs, fill out the towns
stuff,
are just empty.
Imagine.
Like,
yeah, but I've never developed a
but
game.
You also
I can imagine from creative stuff that I've done that is of a smaller scale than a game, sometimes there are just those things where you're like, ah, oh, fuck, this isn't panning out.
But you also
it's not the whole game, though. Like, there's like the trailers, it's like, okay, vampires, semi-open world, first-person shooter, great. There's enough there for it to be a good idea. I don't know how you fuck up just like, texture mapping.
Yeah.
Like,
your biggest company. Like, someone has, like, not even the technical stuff, just the, like, the design and the creative part of it, where they do just get a certain way down the line and they're like, this just isn't working. This sucks, but we have to scrap all of this, maybe take the location or this character and fold it into a different idea. Like, you do hear every now and then people getting like very far down the line and just having to completely
rethink
the design.
Those movies like Don Quixote and
exactly. But a lot of this that he's saying is like, this is weird stuff to have to learn. It's like, we've learned a lesson, you know, you push this out the door too early and it wasn't ready and people don't like it. It's like, I'm sorry, Microsoft shouldn't need to be learning that lesson.
I think
that's
this
insane.
Is
that's why I feel like he's saying the right things, but he cannot mean them. Like, that's factually not true.
I feel like this is another one of those games where people tried to make their own version of Destiny or whatever, and it turns out that that's just a bad game. And so every one of the ones that have tried to do some version of that have been disappointing seemingly to people, other than the technical stuff in Redfall's case, in similar ways.
Right.
Like, this feels empty, this feels soulless, this feels nothing. Like,
and then they've like, and I guess they've also tried to make it Far Cry, which it's like, there's a template there. You could have followed that template.
Yeah.
And made the co-op attack on sort of thing like it is in Far Cry, you know.
Focus maybe,
on the single player, but
maybe the top is just like a, yeah, it's okay, like a 7 game for this type of thing.
Imagine being the director of this game. You're watching this interview and it's like the head of the company having to answer for essentially your crimes.
Well,
it's
right.
Like for an hour and you're just even like, ooh.
It is true. The people who make games know if they're good or not before they come out.
Well, here you go.
So,
quote from Phil. We do mock reviews for every game that we launch.
I was going to talk about this
and,
bit, yeah.
And this is double digits lower than we thought we would be with this game. That's one of the disappointing things. We would never strive to launch a game that we thought was going to review in the low 60s. It's not part of our goals. That's good to know.
They need to get rid of the people who told them that it was going to be in the 70s because...
Yeah.
I have through some grapevines that I harvest
okay.
at my winery.
At the Bottle-O.
Which is where yeah. I hear all my rumors.
Mm-hmm.
They knew about this.
Yeah.
For,
right.
That it sucked.
Yeah.
For at least the last few months or
right.
whatever. So
I wonder if maybe part of their thinking is like we've delayed Halo, we've now delayed Starfield, you know, like.
And but you just Halo cut them, your losses them. With them sometimes. And I mean, that shouldn't yeah. be putting out a bad product.
But everything's delayed now.
Like. They have done that. Like, they cancelled Scalebound, right?
Yeah, yep.
Arcane, what was it? It's like a sub-Arcane, right? It's like Arcane San Andreas or something.
Different city names. Yeah, I forget which is which.
Like, they are now owned by Bethesda and Microsoft. If you cancel Redfall, they'll live on. They'll make yeah. another game.
That's a good
you
point.
You could have just pulled the plug and just gone, it's... Despite, you know, years of working on this title,
it
doesn't measure
up. It's not an indie studio
up.
Of like two guys who've invested
yes.
their life savings into this and had family help them and like,
yeah.
no, it takes as long as it takes. We know we've got a great game in us, but we can't if we put this out and it's if we cancel this, then our lives are over. Yeah, you're right. Like,
yeah.
fold the ideas into something. You hear, you hear about that sort of stuff all the time. Like, scrap it for...
They did it with the Final Fantasy VII Remake. They've... doing it with Metroid Prime 4, like,
yeah.
you know.
I
was going to say, they did it with Halo, and it worked to an extent. Like,
people went back on Halo in a big way after a bit when, like, the longer-term stuff turned out to be... Like, they fixed that single-player thing enough for it to be like, okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
But, yeah, it felt like he had very... Him and his PR team had very carefully gone, all right, how do we... just sort of smooth it over in a way that makes it seem like we didn't know that we were shoveling out a shitty game and hopefully win some fans back.
Yeah.
Whereas, I think you probably you cut your losses and cancel this game, I reckon. But
yeah. We've never run a
or just
multi-million dollar studio.
Well, I've played a lot of games, though, and this was a terrible game.
Or just, I mean... I, as much as I appreciate the transparency, and again, coming from a place of like Nintendo's my favorite company, and they would just never, you would never get if Metroid Prime had have come out when it was meant to, Metroid Prime 4 had have come out early in the Switch lifecycle and sucked, and you wouldn't see Miyamoto on like a Japanese YouTube channel just committing seppuku on camera because he's brought great dishonor upon the company.
Which he's no longer the president of too. So they'd be like, you probably shouldn't have even done
I just
this.
Feel really bad.
The buck has to stop somewhere, Shiggy.
But I feel like that's like more, I don't know, professional. It's like, don't try and spin this into... like being goodwill or something, just like be like, yeah, sorry, it's a bad game, we'll make a better game next time.
Bad games come out all the time at the end of the day. It's like,
I took that more as what he was saying, though, of like, yeah, whoops, we will do better next time.
But as in, don't say it, just do it.
Sure.
It's,
well, Ben hates Phil Spencer.
But also, I mean, it's sitting on like, 60-something on Metacritic.
Yeah,
so there are some people out there that are liking it. Just imagine being you're someone that's loving this game.
It doesn't seem like they're out there.
Big apologetic interview. It's like, I don't know, man. I'm drinking my Game of Thrones. Yeah. I'm eating my Pringles. I'm loving Redfall.
Maybe
dude.
Some people are, but it's one of the most negative, like widely across the board negative receptions I've seen something have to the point where...
Especially like streamers and you like... not non like
those people
IGN.
Aren't touching it.
I saw a thing that it had fewer concurrent players than Borderlands 2
yeah.
on Steam.
Yeah.
Wow. So okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Big flop.
People just aren't touching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Speaking of big flops,
I guess so. Yeah, we could speak of big flops and put that here. That if you've got something big or small to flop around,
tell you how
to make something that seems like a small flop look bigger.
Okay,
trim your pubic hair back.
Yeah,
using the products from Manscaped.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right. Unlike Pringles and Mountain Dew, Manscaped pay us to do ads.
Yeah, true. This wasn't an ad, actually. Yeah, we should, but. We should have hit up Mr. Dew for a little bit of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Well, Mountain D Dew.
The D is also for Dew.
Okay.
I've only just noticed they've now made the Pringles guy bald. He used to have a beautiful head of hair.
Don't think so.
Maybe he started to notice himself thinning and he hit up the people at Manscaped and he brought a professional grooming product because you can use them on any part of the body.
I thought the Pringles guy was always bald, so we might be having a Berenstain Bears thing here because... Anyway, whatever. This is from Manscaped.
We can do this on the bonus.
Yeah, Manscaped, they make great stuff. It's personal grooming products.
That's right.
We all use them and genuinely endorse them.
Yeah. I used my Weed Whacker 2.0 this very morning.
God damn, someone knew was about to be on camera.
That's right.
They're good stuff. You can they sell a bunch of different things, but I like the Lawnmower 4.0. I use it for general trimming. Haven't used it recently. You probably fucking tell. I'll give you a comparison next week. But
the Performance package, I believe, contains the lawnmower and several other things.
Yeah. How they fit a lawnmower in a box and ship it to you for free if you use the code FILTHY.
Oh, yeah.
With 20% off of the price, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never understand.
I think it's actually a small handheld electric razor.
Well, then my lawn is going to take forever to do.
Whoa.
20% off and free shipping if you use the code FILTHY. Pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And
they
sell a lot of great stuff over there. So go have a little look at them.
Long-time supporters of this podcast.
Yeah.
So kept our rent being paid.
They ain't trimming
frankly.
Them down.
Yeah.
They paid for these smaller than will eventually be here amounts of baffling in the back.
Oh, that's true.
I got that baffle fever now. A way I could order more baffling is on the internet. And if I'm on the internet, the way that I want to do that is by using NordVPN whilst being on the internet.
Yes.
Travel the globe and buy different types of game fuel from different countries by acting like I live there.
You could go to Amazon Japan and leave a review of Breath of the Wild, for example.
I really could.
Yeah.
Maybe I did 6 years ago.
Maybe it was the Harry Potter guy 6 years ago.
Fuck.
Before he got the big gig. He was getting the bus to the shit gig every day.
He was planting in their minds, I know I'm going to be in an ad of this someday.
You can go look at the ad for yourself if you get NordVPN. And again, if you go to nordvpn.com/filthy, get a big, big discount that will make you smile on any bus.
Yes.
So head over there as well. nordvpn.com/filthy.
Go over there. Support the companies that support us if you haven't previously.
Yeah.
Or even if you have. Double dip.
Yeah.
Or again.
They make good products.
Yeah.
Both of these things that we're endorsing today.
Mm-hmm.
I also endorse The Case of the Golden Idol.
Yeah.
It remains a good game and they put... The DLC just came out for it. The first of seemingly many from the way they're acting about it.
Oh, really?
They've branded it like Golden Idol Mysteries, I think it's called.
Yes.
Right.
The Spider of Lunker.
Yep, that's it.
It's such an easy one to just shuffle new stuff into.
Yeah.
They never need to do a Golden Idol 2. It's like, yeah, all this stuff just running in this little engine.
Right.
Works fine. There's no part of it.
They've even upgraded it a little bit. It's not... I mean, it is in the same engine, but it's also like they've added some 3D-esque... animation.
A bit more flourish to it.
Yeah.
I mean, we all raved about the game when it came out. We talked about it in our end of year episode.
It was one of my top five games of the year for sure. I don't remember where it was, but I loved it.
Yeah, there's no part of it that's like, oh, you know, next time around, it'd be great if they added this in.
Mm.
What if there were some cases up in the sky and you could build your own detective car out of logs and rockets? No, it's all there. So they could really easily just keep adding... Yeah, add three little new cases at a time.
I hope they do. Yes. If this happened every 6 months, and you're right, it's like $8.
Yeah.
We've played through two of them on our YouTube channel, which you may be on right now.
Mm.
They the second one was definitely intricate after it. And when I was like uploading, I was like, oh, that's what that clue meant.
Oh, no. Like,
throw it in the eye. I get it now.
Right.
We haven't done the third yet. We'll probably do that on video or maybe just do it separate. I don't know. But it's the same shit, which is great.
Yeah.
Having new puzzles in there, if you've not played Golden Idol still, you can watch us play through it if you like, if you're not into puzzle games, or I massively recommend it still. And,
yeah, each case has like one or two, like it kind of guides you through all the clues, it puts them on a little page for you, and so you're piecing them together, they all make complete sense, they're all very logical, but then there will be maybe like one or two things in there per case where it's like, yeah, you're looking at a guy and you're like, oh, hang on, he's got that thing on the side of his head. And, you know, the odd little thing that's not like, that's not spelled out, it's not in a note, it's not like written down for you in a clue that you genuinely have to have like noticed and intuited, and not in a way where it's like, oh, well, that's bullshit, it never told me that. It did tell you, but then you had to like, follow up and like take a visual clue.
Yes.
And it's so satisfying.
It feels so natural and it feels so actually detecting.
Yeah.
Like it really feels like you are piecing this together in a way that I haven't seen another game that's doing these sorts of puzzles do quite as well as this.
Well, I think we mentioned when we were doing the first batch of them, we were simultaneously playing L.A. Noire.
Oh, yes.
And
The fucking whiplash that you get switching between those two.
Which made the quality of this stick out even more. It's like, yeah, this is actually you solve a case. Like you really do put this together as opposed to just getting lucky by selecting the right thing.
I think the facial animations were easier to read in Golden Idol than L.A. Noire as well. Yeah.
Honestly, and like walking around looking for little stupid musical stings so you know which dumb things to pick up.
Yeah.
This doesn't do any of that kind of pixel hunty stuff of like escape room type of games.
They've
got a little glowing thing. You know where everything is. It wants you to find all of the information you need, but then also has that second layer that it uses differently and creatively from mission to mission of you needing to have observational skills at the same time.
Yeah, right. If you don't
remember... Not just fucking... like Where's Wally style, look for the hidden little bastard.
Yeah.
Observational skills, but contextual, use your logic to figure out what's happened in this scene type of skills, which, yeah.
Yeah, if you didn't hear us talk about it at the time or you just don't remember, each little scene is each case is like a tableau or a series of different tableaus. You're looking for like clue words and it'll tell you you've got 40 of these to find. So you're going around, you're clicking on people, you get, and it'll put their name, it'll put like knife, all these different things.
And you get them so easily. It's not like a challenge.
Yeah,
to
you
find
go
those.
Around, you read all that, you fill all that in, and then it'll tell you you've got all them. And then you've got a page where it's basically Mad Libs. It's like someone did something to someone in the something. And and then you're going back through and looking with a bit more of a keener eye.
Very different versions of those two where it finds creative ways of going, well, now you have to find the sequence of events here, or now you have to find which of these masks represents which type of person.
Yes. Yes.
It'll give you different...
Which it does build up. It starts with just like, who are these people's names? And as the cases progress...
The first one that's like basically a tutorial is so easy. It's like a guy getting stabbed and it's like... killed with a
But the way that it upgrades to figure out which cardinal direction you're facing and decode this language, like heaps of stuff that just continues to be surprising and creative. And if they're able to keep up the pace of, I think we're roughly 6 maybe 8 months away from the initial release of the game, something
right
like that. If they keep up like a twice yearly sort of pace with these sorts of packs, or even less, whatever they can keep up, I'll be in every time.
Well, the bloody New York Times guy came up with a crossword every day.
Yeah, that's true.
And these people are clearly very smart, so we should be getting one a day is my point.
Jaffe was doing foldings until he was like 90-something.
If people are standing around just in like, you know, slowly animating back and forth, saying like, it's what you would call a tractor if you were a mule, and giving you cryptic crosswords, I would be out of this game immediately after that.
It just turns into Wordle.
Bring back Wordle.
I went in on Wordle the other day. Yeah, I gave it a go.
Fuck, okay.
I mentioned Contexto on here a few days ago, and some people are in on that on our Discord.
Yeah.
It's great fun.
Get on the Discord. It's a secret Patreon Discord. You can go to patreon.com/filthycasualspod. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just the main general chat channel has gone Contexto crazy.
Contexto's great.
Yeah,
it gets you that Wordle sucked in. Got to do it every day type of feeling.
I was doing the Wordle the day of the king's coronation, and just because I guess that was in my brain, my first guess was crown. Mm-hmm. And I got three of the letters right. And I was like, all right. They know what they're doing.
I've got a system.
Groan. No, that would still use four of them if it was the double. Anyway.
There's a game that I've been playing every damn day, and it's called Jet Star Wars Jedi: Survivor.
Jet
Star Wars would be sick.
Yeah,
I guess that's just
Cold Hard Gun Gengada. You know, that's the band Jet.
Yeah, I was going to say band.
That's just an alternate title for Nick Cody's podcast, Mid Flight Brawl.
Jet Star Wars.
Jet
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, you idiot, Luke Heggie.
Why didn't they call it that?
A safe guy to call an idiot.
Yeah. One of the nicest guys, Luke Heggie. Yeah.
Why didn't they call it that? Because Heggie would have bashed himself. He had to say every week, welcome to Jet Star Wars.
Yeah. yes, I'm like 10 hours in now to Jedi Survivor. I love it. I can't stop playing it. I do think the story is very like Star Wars boilerplate. It's always like either like the first one was like, oh, up and coming promising guy has a mentor and then the Empire's bad. And this one is like semi-established guy has to deal with a version of himself that went evil, you know, like it's
life
very...
versus dark within himself here.
Yeah.
There's a MacGuffin there and there's a MacGuffin over here to go find.
And they'll be
I
like...
don't like the sort of main villain.
Yeah.
He's not good.
He weirdly...
Darth Vader.
I
don't like him either. Game.
I forget his name.
He's a bad man.
He's some other Jedi.
His voice acting weirdly sounded like Hayden Christensen at points. Very flat. Really? Very like monotone voice.
It's that, I guess he's probably doing it because of that, where it's like the Sith thing is to be like, yeah, I'm a guy. Like every Sith is like your fucking weird roommate who just sits there eating Pringles and Mountain Dew all day, but they're actually kind of delicious. So I get it, brother.
And then like there's always got to be like a cocky pilot and an alien and a cocky human guy with guns, and like they just sort of like split off or merge together various like Star Wars character archetypes. But the gameplay is so good. I love the way that they've done the exploration and the platforming specifically. Like it really feels like a lot of fun. It's reminding me of some other games because it's got like, you know, you double jump and you're like mid-air dash and stuff.
That's Render. Don't worry. Anyway,
Peggy, get over here and bash this.
No, don't. It won't work because my army of nerds who get me will run away with me.
How terribly droll.
I recognize that reference. So I'm loving the platforming. It's really, and the level design specifically.
Yeah.
I've just got past the thing that looks like a Death Star again. Like so many familiar sort of
What's
tropes.
It called?
It's one of the things from episode Killmoon. One.
It's got...
Is that the one you mean? The like thing in the swamp?
Yeah.
It's from episode one. It's one of those Trade Federation ships.
Oh,
but just
yeah.
the ball out of the middle.
Yeah, and it's half built. It's half collapsed, so now it looks like a half built Death Star. It's got a dumb name, and I refuse to say it.
It's funny, because I guess the challenge when you're making something like this is, like you're saying, it's very like tropey within Star Wars, but it's like, yeah, we're making a game where fans of Star Wars are in the Star Wars universe, you know, so it's like you got to hit those beats and give people a bit of like,
yeah,
well, this is what I would want if I was to be taking part in this world.
They're not trying to convert lapsed Star Wars fans. They're just like, yeah, it's Star Wars.
And it's not annoying or anything either.
It's just not the strength of the game.
No, well, when this game is like in the sort of vein of an Uncharted-y type of thing, it's noticeable compared to that. But then the platforming stuff, like it sounds you're finding, is a cut above those because you're actually given things to do while you're platforming.
Yeah. It's more like, I wish I could think of like, not a Mirror's Edge, but...
It's honestly like Jack and Daxter or something, speaking right. of Naughty Dog. It's more like a platforming game of that PS2 era where, yes, you're just climbing up a wall, for example, like you would in a Uncharted, but for those, you're often just pressing up, and sometimes there's a gap with no threat, and you just press X to jump up, it just is time and a nice vista and whatever. But with this, there'll be little shocky things that you'll have to time your jumps around, or it'll be rotating and there'll be blades coming at you. Like, God of Wars on the PS2.
Anytime jumping across a platform is just like a context specific, you know, you get
basically
to the edge
automatic.
And a thing comes up and it's like, I can't misjudge the distance or like do it at the wrong time or anything. It's like, it's automated.
I guess it reminds me of like Assassin's Creed 2 and the two sequels.
Something
era.
Like that. But
I think that just Assassin's Creed 2 had more platforming challenges where it's like, well, it's not just pushing forwards. To get to the top of this cathedral, you're going to have to time this jump and jump on the wall and run along here.
With that, you were even just like holding R or whatever it was too, and then just like running up a wall. Like, this is noticeably a bit more fun with that platforming stuff than a lot of
totally. And then
like this
I was going to say I brought up the Death Star. The level design in that, it's very much a Metroid style. Like, you can go through here, go through here, unlock a shortcut back there. Go through here, go through here. Get a new power that means you can move a thing towards you. So you can go through this area and this area. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of based around this little hub, you know, checkpoint. And you keep unlocking doors and sort of exploring further and further. And then, eventually when you leave there, you've got like a bunch of new powers. And I just love how that level was designed to make you feel like really rewarded from that sort of loop of platforming and combat and a bunch of different stuff.
Right. And when you get more powers and go back, and that's what I sort of did a bit of after finishing it too.
Right.
Like go back and open the different colored door you couldn't get through before. That stuff is fun.
Yeah.
In there and is enjoyable. Yeah. All of the are you finding, you're playing it on PS5 as well.
Yes.
Are you noticing the sort of technical stuff much?
I think maybe... my first couple of sessions playing it, but it's been updated, I think, twice since then.
Okay.
And so I've been playing it, for pretty long stretches at a time the past few days and haven't really noticed any
no
technical stuff at all.
Floating around and all of that sort of...
Nah, only the first probably day where I noticed your AI companion in that start bit was, flickering or jumping around.
That's so frustrating if they've patched it this quickly.
Right.
From it releasing, that it was noticeable while I was playing through it, at release. And so, if what are we 2 weeks out from it now?
But they ship something and then they're often working on that stuff in the background,
if it ends up being negligible within a month of release, it's like, well, could you have delayed it a month then? I know they can't, and it's money and all that stuff, but frustrating.
But I haven't, because it is. It's quite finely tuned platforming. So I imagine if I was having any technical issues, it'd really fuck me off. Because it's not easy.
That was the experience I had at times.
Right.
Yeah. So,
But I'm loving it. I love the level of customization. There's unlocks. There's collectibles. That gives you a really big range of ways to do combat as well. You can have a blaster or a double-ended dildo lightsaber or two singles or
Yakuza style.
San Andreas was the OG in terms of dildo weapons. I reckon that was or Vice City. I don't remember which it was.
Maybe it was Vice City.
Maybe.
That you get a giant broadsword lightsaber.
Oh yeah.
Kylo Ren's.
Yes.
He's got that big angry lightsaber.
Which people have did compare the previous one to Dark Souls games, and having played Dark Souls since, I don't really see it, but I see the sort of vague influence of different weapon types do change the way the combat is played.
Honestly, the camera angle is similar because you're locking onto enemies, but beyond that, it is a lot more like an Arkham game or whatever.
Yeah. But I think I'm pretty far in. I'm not doing I'm not scouring every area.
Main story, I reckon you're about halfway-ish.
Right.
If you're at that bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's cool. It'll probably be the second game this year that I finish after Kirby.
Oh yeah. Hey, speaking of Dark Souls, by the way, I've been reading Berserk this week.
Oh yeah.
Legendary.
You've been
manga.
Reading Spot, but like real angry.
Yeah, it's cited as a reference point for Dark Souls and all that kind of stuff. You got to check it out. It's great.
I bet I'd love
gory.
It. I've always meant to.
That same, it like pretty quickly you can see like, oh yeah, that's the influence. Like big fucked up gross character designs. There's like a king who's like he's like eating people and he's all squat and fucked looking and then he turns into a big slug. It's awesome.
I've
seen
people
call
Dark Souls like Guts Simulator.
Yeah, totally.
Guts is the main character.
And there is a Berserk. There's like, I think there's two, maybe there's two or three games, but one of them is a Dynasty Warriors version of it, which
they did
sounds
one.
Like it would be hell fun.
Mm. Oh, I'm thinking of Fist of the North Star. Mm. Never mind.
I think all of the anime is on Netflix as well.
Cool. Yeah, and
or
there's like
somewhere, yeah.
There's a weird. I was looking it up last.
He died not that long ago. The guy who was writing that, and then someone else is finishing it off, Brandon Sanderson style, I believe.
I think it might, maybe his son, maybe have invented that. But
protege or something. I think it was someone quite closely.
Because it's a long ass series.
It's been going
since the '80s, right?
Since the mid '80s, and the animes of it, like. There was one for like a couple of seasons in the '90s, and then there were a couple of films, and then there's another series that's like a continuation from those films. And it is, manga is generally like broken up into little storylines. So it'll be like, oh, this storyline has a series and this storyline has it. Like not, it hasn't like carried it all the way through.
Yeah.
It's kind of like pretty segmented. But the books are great. I got this like deluxe like omnibus thing that's like that thick that's like got, I think it's, those big ones that they do that'll have like three of the original kind of volumes all in one, omnibus edition.
I know the word omnibus. I'm on the bus playing Zelda every day.
Ooh, oh yeah. But it's cool. It's like,
what about this as well? What about a hedge maze, right? That shows Japanese animation in different parts of it. And it's called Animes.
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah, cool.
I reckon we do it.
Just as an option.
But you got to watch the anime first.
Put some baffling up in there. Hell yeah.
You got to watch the anime first and then, because it's animes and a maze. So it's got the maze has to follow.
There's
on
multiple animes all through the
also,
maze.
Also, it'd be called, if there is baffling in it, it'd be a baffling animes. Because it'd could be a confusing,
maze. It's confusing, yeah.
What about we just call it Tommy's, Ben's and Adam's.
Yeah. But it's like thick leather cover. Just something about sitting up in bed, reading this like gothic horror fantasy, super violent, this like big,
and your
thick,
fucking
like,
Crash Bandicoot sheets.
My dog was lying under me and I accidentally like dropped the book on his head.
Oh,
and
God.
It looked like it really hurt him.
Rest in peace, Cupid. Okay.
I've also been playing through a bit of Fire Emblem.
Oh yeah.
Trying to get that knocked off. And a new game came out at the start of the week on Apple Arcade.
Bullshit. Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh wow, okay.
You are right to be dubious about me bothering to mention Apple Arcade.
There's something else coming out on there soon that I like. Oh, there's like Very Little Nightmares is coming out. Yeah. So I liked Little Nightmares and it's a little iPhone but yeah, anyway, sorry.
There's a Ninja Turtles game too that looks kind of interesting.
I thought of you when I saw the Ninja Turtles because that's what you've cultivated.
What an honor. I think that's cool. What the Car was a surprise release at the start of the week from the makers of What the Golf. I hadn't seen this announced anywhere or anything like that. It just randomly came out.
When I was looking at it too, like the sort of app store stuff, it's difficult to even find that it's what the Golf people, rather than the fact that it's similar art style, it's called What the Car, but like they've got it under a different name there. But it is.
It could
people,
be a Marc Maron game. We don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's not.
We don't know.
But yeah, if you're familiar with What the Golf is a iPhone game. Well, no, it's on consoles and stuff too, right?
It's at least on the PC, I believe. Yeah. I don't know what. Maybe the Switch. I'm not sure.
I think
it
started
everything.
Out as an maybe it was like a timed exclusive Apple Arcade.
I definitely
thing.
Played it on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golf game starts off. You just you scroll. You're like pulling down to time your shot, shooting your ball into the hole, and then what is it? Almost immediately, like the next hole, it's like you're hitting the golf club instead, and it's like changes and various
it's a wacky game,
various different sort of obstacles and changes to the way that you're playing. And this is a similar thing. It's racing game. getting from A to B. You're controlling a little car, and then all of a sudden the car has legs, and then you've got a jetpack, or it'll be rolling around. And so every level that you're going into is like a different little gimmick. Gives you a little thing at the start. Here's what you're doing. You're sort of, you know, learning the controls each time. You're using, pretty standard, like using your left thumb to steer, holding down to accelerate. Or sometimes that's like a jump instead and the movement is automatic. And it's cool. If you liked What the Golf, it's got that same sort of style of humor that's sort of wacky but not too grating.
Yeah.
Gets just to the line without tipping over into too much sort of, online kind of humor.
It's more creative than funny even, you know. Right. It's just like, oh, what's a strange way that you could approach something that's very typical and very tropey, yeah.
Yeah, and it's got, you get being graded on the level at the end of how fast you did it and how many of the little pickups you found. So there's, it's a good mobile game. It's incentivizing you to go back in and find all the little things that you missed the first time around. It's cool. It's like it's a perfect iPhone game. It was always strange to me that you could end up playing What the Golf on other things because it's just so made for, I think, the phone and the like little short burst thing. I would assume, given that this will come out on other stuff eventually. But yeah, if you've got Apple Arcade, you've got access to it.
Is it Apple Arcade only right now? Can you buy it on the App Store too? Or just?
I don't know. I don't think so because I recommended it to a friend who I thought would really like it. And he's like, I don't have Apple Arcade, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're using an Apple product right now. You've almost certainly got access to it in some way or another.
That's cool. What the Car is What Rove Drives. And you played Age of Wonders 4 is the other thing I remember.
So it's I didn't know this, but you tipped me off to this, Knox. And
I saw someone say it's a strategy game where your characters keep going. And I thought Ninja Turtles style, that's Ben stuff.
Yes.
Where Ninja Turtles is Tommy. Me, fucking
Mountain Dew and Pringles.
Shall we?
Let's be nice to each other.
The floor is open.
I haven't played it long enough to get into that sort of, persistent, like, generational character-y stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, surface level, this is... It's made by Paradox, who, make, like, Crusader Kings and all those, like, 4X strategy games.
Yeah.
This is their latest one. They like the New York Times crossword guy, seem to pump these out.
There's always tons of them, especially for how much time these games want from you.
Yeah.
It's always sort of surprised me.
And it's similar to, I don't know, certain certain games and platforms and stuff. People will just keep playing one of the old ones.
Right.
People will be like, well, no, they changed, Crusader Kings 2 to 3, this I don't like as much. And also because they have all these expansions. So it's like, I've put, hours and hours and hundreds of dollars into Crusader Kings 2, so I don't want to continue. So they just, make a million games a year. This one is the fourth in this series. The series is basically fantasy civilization. It's like a hex-based, turn-based city-building, civilization-building game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a copy of Civilization.
Right.
Like Civ came out in what, the 80s, I think?
First one, maybe. Yeah, maybe early 90s, maybe. I think it might be like 1990, but I don't remember.
I think Civ 2 was like 1990s.
Or something.
Yeah. I was a child when I played it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would have been 5.
So that would have been 6. Or 7. This is such a copy, though, that it felt a bit weird.
Okay.
Because it's just like, I don't need to do the tutorials because I've played Civilization several different times. But then it also has weirdly mixed in a bunch of stuff from, there are other games. They're more like sprawling, this is your guy and this is his son and he's going to inherit the thing. So make sure you like teach him how to be good at this, this and this.
Mm-hmm.
But on the first 2 or 3 hours of play, it's like a better, more fun, like more quality of life improvements version of Civilization 3, which is like a specific, like one that I liked.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, they didn't introduce this, this and this to fuck around with it. It's just like you go around building cities and having little fights and stuff. And it looks great. The one thing I don't love about it is rather than sort of like real, you know, nations and shit, it's like you're the rat men.
Like Warhammer style or whatever.
It's all right. Warhammer style. Dark elves and light elves and dwarves.
Race versus race.
I guess
Charles Manson told me it's coming.
Guess that's a way to put it, yeah. I've definitely gone through phases of loving like fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm in a phase of liking history. So it's just a bit of a, it's just not quite the aesthetic hook that is going to work for me. But if you've, you know, always loved that stuff, you're a Warcraft fan, you're, you know, all of that. And you like Civilization, it's just a no-brainer. It's the best version of that.
Cool.
I saw this one getting a good reception from the folks who are in. So, yeah.
And I think it's a shame, but it was... The previous one was on Game Pass, and this one is not.
Oh,
and, like,
okay.
Crusader Kings 3 is on Game Pass, but this game is not. So it's not just, like, a Paradox thing. They all go on there.
Right.
So you're going to have to shell out some clams for it, some simoleons. But... If you're looking for like a good new Civilization game, or like you liked Civ 3 and you haven't been loving the latest ones, it's a really, really good version of it.
Sick.
I'm having fun.
It's also, in context of the video, a very funny game to talk about when flanked by cans of Pringles like their AFL goals, which no longer has any context if someone's just watching that.
Yep.
And I'm realizing we probably should have taken them off the table as we went.
These are the castle towers. My keep.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw 8D Mountain Dews and just whichever way up the cans land is my dice roll.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
I think that's all I played this week.
Yeah, nice.
It's been a good week of games.
Yeah. Well, we will be back next week.
Uh-huh.
They've tried to shut us down.
It's the big one.
We'll be back.
The big one.
Clean table and dirty bodies. I'm willing
to bet.
Because... Showering gets replaced by Zelda for the next few weeks for me, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about this on the pod, but I've got a theory that we're about to see a return of our favorite meme, Goodbye Girlfriend.
You went
looking for this for the hashtag on Instagram and the most recent poster from like 8 years ago.
I think Star Wars Battlefront 1 was like one of the...
Right.
There are more recent ones than that. I think it was like top posts. But so one of the most liked Goodbye Girlfriend posts was Battlefront 1. It was all PS4 shit.
Okay.
Right, so yes.
I reckon it's not making a comeback.
We'll see.
Personally.
We'll find out.
Well, we got to wait until Tears of the Kingdom comes out, and that might be the one that tips it over.
I think it won't.
I think it could be. And
let's
guys,
place a bet.
We need you all listening. Don't try and tip the scales here.
No.
We need you to remain impartial.
Please.
Yeah. Just do what comes naturally. I agree. It won't come back.
Okay. Well,
it's old. It's done.
If it comes back, me and Ben have to ride the bus every day. No switch.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
If we're right, you've got to do that no switch bus ride. Just do it raw.
Okay.
See how sad it makes
you. This is a win-win for me because I don't play the Switch on the bus.
You'll wish you did when Tears of the Kingdom's out.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll find out. We'll find out in 24 hours and the listeners will find out in 7 days.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're on our Patreon, we will be asking for your thoughts on the game, as we often do with the big releases.
Oh, yeah. We've got some more Redfall thoughts if we want to... I mean, they're all negative.
I had a look and I did see that they were all pretty much...
So, like, sorry to everyone who's commented, but it almost makes it, like, a bit redundant when every single person... hated this game.
And the purpose of that kind of stuff is for anyone listening who's on the fence. No one's on the fence at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone hates it. So
tuned out.
We've taken you as a group.
I'll take Rick's comment and as a sort of representative one. It has a really cool atmosphere, but it's completely undermined by bland combat and PS1 era AI. All I can say is glad it was on Game Pass.
Right.
So that kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to my favorite thing of Breath of the Wild was just the day it came out. The chatting about it with other people, everyone going off in different directions immediately and doing different stuff, and so I'm looking forward to chatting with people during the week
and
seeing what everyone gets up to.
Annoyingly, because of the way Nintendo released stuff and the fact that their review embargoes are quite close to the game release,
right.
We won't get to read reviews until like 3 hours before it comes out.
I think it's 10
no
p.m.
No review could
tonight,
change my mind about what I'm going to do with this game. I quit a job to play more Breath of the Wild last time, I've just remembered.
But yeah, I'm more just curious to see what those, like, all of the publications are saying about it, because
yeah,
that's part of the conversation.
It's an event. They don't make these, you know, they really take their time with these. So yeah, a week with a new Zelda in it. It's exciting.
Yeah. We'll be back to talk about it in a week.
Yeah. Until then, filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find the links to all of the stuff that we're doing. Check out the YouTube channel. Check out the Patreon. Get on there. Get an extra episode every week where we talk movies, TV shows. We're currently recapping Succession in a little sealed section. No spoilers before that.
It's called a sealed suck section.
Sealed suck section, sorry. I want to inspire people to sign up who aren't on there already. So check out all of that. We'll see you next week. And until next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I still trust Phil Spencer, even though he killed all those Beatles or whatever. Spectre. The blank look you gave me.
You should have said it to me.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. It just...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.